This episode of Trenton Waves is brought to you by...
Sharing Australia's softest tissues has never been easier. Now you can send a Kleenex Silk Touch sample pack to someone you love for free. Go to the Kleenex Facebook page today. Kleenex. Share the softness.
Soul of a City. Works by the Trenton A-Team.
Collective works by the Trenton A-Team celebrating creativity harnessed in the Trenton Area Soup Kitchen. February 7th through March 31st, 2020. At the Roebling Lofts Gallery, 71 Clark Street, Trenton, New Jersey, 08611. There are two receptions, one February 7th and one on March 6th from 6:30 to 9 p.m. For more information, go to roeblinggallery.org or ateamartists.net. Don't miss it.
It's the official, unofficial podcast of the city of Trenton, New Jersey. Yeah. With your host, Frank Ferocious Sasso.
Trenton still makes and the world still takes.
Hang tight, because we're going to meet the lifeblood behind the culture, food, arts, music, pork roll, punk rock, hair, books, education, talent, events, of Trenton, New Jersey. Here's Frank.
Yo, 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 Trenton Waves, that's right. We have just come off of a huge episode, episode 50. Who knew? I mean, Will Foskey was going to take the number one place, man. That guy never ceases to amaze me. And kudos to Aaron. Jane Austen was a fembot. And, of course, Tony Goggles in number three, third place with Are You Offended Yet? Good stuff. I am sitting here. I've been waiting to get this guy on the show for a long time. He's made headlines, I think, since I've ever heard of him. He's been making headlines. And the media loves him. I think, honestly, City Hall loves him, but that's just me. Anyway, I think judges kind of love him. That's right, I said judges. He is the man, not really a myth, but definitely a legend, at least in New Jersey and Trenton. It is Ed the Weed Man Fortune, right here on Trenton Waves. Welcome, NJ Weed Man, by the way.
Yeah.
NJ Weed Man. Welcome,
yeah,
Ed.
Don't forget the NJ part.
Because you claimed
it. I'm a proud New Jerseyan. And everybody has a Weed Man. There's a Weed Man or a Weed Woman.
What do you mean everybody has a Weed Man?
There's a Weed Man or a Weed Woman in every community in America.
Really?
Just about. Listen, I've bought weed in the whitest city in America, Salt Lake City. And there was a Weed Man there.
Huh.
there's a weed man everywhere.
So you call it weed?
Yeah, I do.
So you smoke marijuana?
I smoke
really? Because you don't look like the type.
No, I smoke a lot of marijuana. I claimed the state, you know.
Wow.
Claimed the whole state. What I was saying was, there's a weed man or woman in every single community in America.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just a little vain, and I claim the entire state of New Jersey for weed.
Okay.
Ed, it was a promotion. To be honest with you,
it started out
as a promotion thing back in 1999.
Well, hang on a second. Now, so are you originally from Trenton?
No, I'm from New Jersey, though.
How did you get to Trenton?
Well, I'm from Sicklerville, Camden County.
Sicklerville, okay. Yep. Isn't it Glassboro?
It's between Glassboro and Berlin,
Voorhees,
if you're coming
area?
That direction.
Oh, Berlin, okay,
but
yeah.
On Atlantic City Expressway.
Right.
It's right on Atlantic City Expressway.
Oh, interesting. How'd you get from there to Trenton? How'd you wind up in Trenton?
I bounced around a little bit. Went to Los Angeles and everything between then and then. In 2014, I came up here. I just was trying to actually protest. Because I had been doing them in Philly, and I've been doing them in Camden and South Jersey. And then I was like, you know what? Trenton's the state capital.
Okay.
So I came to Trenton deliberately just protesting. Then I spotted the building across the street from City Hall, and we branded it.
The NJ Weed Man Cafe is across the street from City Hall. You set up a joint, no pun intended, right across from City
Hall.
Well,
it's NJ Weed Man's joint, so I did set up a joint.
You did
across
set up
the
a joint.
Street
you...
from City Hall.
Oh, my goodness. And I'm sure there was no strategy there.
No, it was.
It just happened to be
100% planned.
Okay, so what?
I stumbled upon. We stumbled upon it. We really were coming to Trenton to look for a place to set up and bounced around one or two blocks. Then we saw something on Laylor Street. We saw something down the other end of a State Street off of Warren.
Sure.
And this was like the third place we spotted. It was like, this is it.
Do you get?
Oh my God! It's a restaurant too, and it's a backyard.
I've been to the backyard. The backyard is nice.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
Yep. Yep. So, and right away, the vision was like, poof.
Done.
And see, I had a place very similar to it in L.A. They had a backyard, a courtyard,
mm-hmm.
two different buildings that I had put together and, you know, with, you know, walkways through it and put it together. That was my place in L.A. So then this place here, we got a little bit bigger, three buildings, and we put, you know, doorways between all three.
Right,
and we had the
right.
common courtyard in the back.
The place in L.A., was it near City Hall?
No, but it was on Hollywood Boulevard.
Oh, okay.
So again, it wasn't hiding. It was on plain sight.
Right, you were right there.
And at the time when I opened that, there was no other dispensary on Hollywood Boulevard. So when I showed up on Hollywood Boulevard and this dispensary, this guy from New Jersey, I was like an instant hit, man.
It was exactly crazy. But wait a minute, what year was that in L.A.?
That was 2007.
So 2007, you weren't probably getting really much pushback from government, were you, at that point in L.A.?
Man, I was on TMZ three times.
Were you really?
Yeah, I was on TMZ. I was meeting celebrities. Everything was good. I had one raid from the city there for selling weed without a required documents or something. It was like two or three days that I was down, and then I started right back up.
Still without documents.
Right, but then I got a lawyer to argue my argument. You know what my argument was?
What is your argument?
At that time in L.A.?
Okay, at that time you had a different argument?
It's still here, but I've perfected it a little bit better.
Okay,
now.
Well, tell
but
me the original argument first.
The argument there was that the state of California was allowing medical marijuana, which is a secular issue, exemption to their criminal laws. So I had formed a church, I'd formed a LLC, a religious corporation, and I opened a church. Liberty Bell Temple, still to this day, I still use it. Right. It's my corporation. Liberty Bell Temple is a church. And when I rented that place in L.A. on Hollywood Boulevard, I called it Liberty Bell Temple, and it was a church. And I was providing marijuana to people who had medical use, which was in compliance with the Proposition 215 laws, and I also provided for spiritual use. And I refused to fill out the paperwork
Wait a minute. So you provided marijuana for spiritual use.
Yep.
What does that even mean?
It's anything, to be honest with you. You can walk in and tell me that you smoke oranges and you really feel that you should bless it with the sacrament of marijuana, too.
The sacrament of marijuana.
Hey, listen, nobody can tell you how you can and cannot worship, you know?
Right.
Nobody, everybody, that's what the First Amendment is all about.
Right.
So I wrapped my argument up in the First Amendment. You know, I had a history of that before that anyway. But
then you bring it to Trenton then.
No, wait a minute.
There's more.
What happened in California.
Podcast, hold on to your seats because this is going to be interesting.
At some point 3 years into it, I get a letter from the city of Los Angeles saying that, you know, I was operating a dispensary without the proper documents or something.
Sure, sure.
So I wrote him back and said, I'm not a dispensary. I'm a church providing weed to my congregation.
Right.
And about 2 weeks later, a squad of LAPD's finest came in.
Really?
And they stole all my weed. They took all my weed. They broke my windows. They did a few things. And I put it all online because I had cameras that they didn't know about. And it's called Coppery. So if you ever look up NJ Weedman's Coppery, C-O-P-P, like a cop robbery.
Oh, okay.
I called it Coppery.
Okay, yeah, gotcha.
I put six versions of it up there. It's like six episodes of it. Up. I took
how many views did you get
it
on that thing?
Oh, I got a lot. And it got shared all over. It got me all kinds of media attention. The eye of TMZ and everything.
Sure.
And then it caught the eye of a big-time lawyer out there. And we argued the argument out.
Really?
I won.
Dude.
I know people don't give me some of the props that I think I'm due, but on that one, I am absolutely the first marijuana church that has been given acceptance by a state government. Judge Moore, state judge in California, granted me an injunction to keep operating, because I asked for an injunction right away.
Okay.
Listen, I open right back up, and they can come back tomorrow.
Exactly.
And I asked for an injunction.
Wow.
He granted me an injunction, and a year later, he merged my case with another existing case, and then that case won.
Wow.
So I became the first marijuana church in America who was granted legality.
I thought you were going to say later on he became a customer.
No. Then the feds came 2 years later and put me out of business. And part of the reason was because of all that. Because, wait a minute, the state lets this guy sell weed like this?
And
then, like, you know, TMZ had me on, and I was becoming a little celebrity in California.
Hmm.
And it was prompted by a letter, actually, from Burlington County, right here in Jersey.
A letter from
Michael Luciano, assistant prosecutor in Burlington County, wrote a letter to the U.S. Attorney's Office in Los Angeles and said that he suspected that I was mailing marijuana to Burlington County. And the U.S. Attorney reacted by sicking a Patrick Kelly, a DEA agent, on me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I got all the paperwork for everything. I made sure.
But on a suspicion?
Yes, but that's what happened. And then the DEA actually put me out of business in L.A.
He had nothing to go by. He couldn't prove that.
That's what happened.
They just needed suspicion.
And they just smashed me. They took everything. Wow. They hit my bank account. All my legal stuff. I was legal in L.A. I had two big grow operations. I had the dispensary that I was actually owned, and I had one that I was part owner in. Right, it smashed everything. Really? I woke up in the morning on December the 12th with, I don't know, I'd say 40 or 50,000 cash and a couple hundred thousand assets. And I went to bed with 1,800 bucks in my pocket that they didn't take out of my pocket. They took everything else. I don't know. Then everything happened right around then too. Like, I got sick. I don't know. A lot of people don't know I have this bone condition. And I caught this, I had a flare-up. I had tumors and everything. They were painful, everything. All that happened right after the raid. My longtime girlfriend out there, we broke up. It was like everything happened all at once. I came home.
You just came home after that?
I came home,
it's like,
yeah.
I had enough.
Yeah, I came home. I was taking a beating. I don't know. I was mentally, physically, financially, I was taking a beating. I had to regroup. I came back home. I was at my mom's house for a while. I had surgery and everything at my mom. You know, like, I can count on my mom to nurse me.
Right,
you know what I mean? My girlfriend broke up with me. You know? So I came home.
Your
and
mom always loves you. Right?
Yeah, exactly. So I went through about 6 months of recovery and everything, and then was like, okay, what do I do now? And I was really seriously getting ready to go back to California. And then I started looking around, and I ended up in Trenton. And I was loving it. I was like, man, I want to come here to the state capitol, and I'm going to protest here. I'm going to set up shop here. I'm going to give the finger to the government here.
Right. So you came
capital.
Back to do that. That was your goal.
Yep.
I'm going to protest. I'm going to open up a pot shop across the street from City Hall.
Yeah.
And then that
remember,
was
the state of New Jersey destroyed my life in California.
Right, from Burlington. From Burlington.
Yeah, yeah.
So you came back to say, well, a vengeance.
Yep,
okay.
I did. I felt, you know, and I described it to people, like, felt like General MacArthur. He returned. Remember the Japanese had chased him off the Philippines, and he vowed to return. Like, listen, when I first left New Jersey, I vowed to one day return too. And then after all that happened to me in California, and it was because the state of New Jersey wrote a letter to them, I came back to fight.
So when was the first time you smoked pot?
The summer I went from 14 to 15. I never remember if it was before I was 15 or not, but it was that summer.
What year was that?
79. I'm older than most people think.
Well, if you were 56,
I'll be 56.
You're 56.
I'll be 56.
You're not much older than me.
Yeah.
And you just liked the experience, I'm assuming.
The first time I smoked weed, I liked it.
Really?
Yep. I got a little bit paranoid. Let me tell you how it happened. Our whole family was at a family gathering in Willingboro. I went to Willingboro. And me and my cousin snuck off with his friends and went to, I think it was Pennypacker Park, and we were smoking. Somebody pulled out a joint. And prior to that, I had never tried to smoke marijuana. Prior to that, I tried to smoke cigarettes, and I couldn't smoke cigarettes. I always coughed and gagged. And still to this day, I don't smoke cigarettes. I didn't like cigarettes. So it was really just peer pressure because I'd already decided I wasn't smoking.
Gotcha.
And then, bam, next thing I know, I inhaled. I didn't cough and gag. When I came back around, I inhaled deeper. By the time I came around the third time, I didn't want to give it up.
And then a new romance was born.
Yeah, then like a half an hour later, 20 minutes later, I had like this pleasurable sensation I've been seeking ever since.
Now, I've been in your cafe. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful little cafe. I love the food. It's really good. My wife and I were in there this past Christmas season. They were doing the lighting of the Christmas tree on City Hall steps. Mm-hmm. So we came into your place just to kind of like warm up a little bit, get something to eat, and wait for that to start. And you came in, and we started talking about the podcast, started talking about Trenton Waves and you coming on the show. And you said, well, something happened today, but I can't talk about it. Do you remember this? And you said, it's going to make the papers, it's going to do this, it's going to do that. You were in court or something. Like about a month or two ago, around the time Christmas tree was being lit.
Well, I think it was, I must have been talking about my court case.
You were hot, dude. You were like, wait till you hear this, I can't talk about it. I'm like, dude, stop
it was
teasing me.
Still at that point.
You still can't talk about it.
Not yet.
I'm still waiting for more NJ Weedman headlines, man.
I actually thought my lawyer was going to release some things.
And he didn't.
He didn't.
Maybe that's good.
And then he explained it was his strategy not to. He knows that I'm the media whore and all that, and everything. He knows
So
he had to kill it. He had to make sure that I didn't release it, send a press release with all this information and documents.
So when did you start running into some trouble with New Jersey, especially in Trenton with your cafe?
All right, as far as that goes, when we first opened, me and Debbie first opened, we opened in the spring of 2015. We thought we had a gold mine.
Okay.
You know, because May, June, July, August, like, we were doing good. City workers, state workers were coming in there during the day, and in the evening, the city was coming in. I'd say about October or so, it started getting cold, and we had a drop-off of people who were coming in during the day.
Okay.
So we started doing more things for night. We're adapting. It was our first year here.
Sure.
We didn't realize that come October, none of the state and city workers are walking anymore. And that's where we were getting our daytime business, right?
Okay, yeah, sure.
So, okay, all of a sudden, we realized, okay, we need to do things at night. So we started doing things at night to get the city to come in. And trust me, it started working. Like, sure. You know, instead of just at 8 o'clock and 7 o'clock, you know, now at 10:30 we're busy. So, all right.
10:30 at night.
Yeah, so we pushed our time back to 2 a.m., stayed open until 2 a.m. and started, you know, doing little music events and all that type of stuff. Within a few weeks, I had the city police came over and dropped off a letter just basically saying, hey, you know, you can't be open after 11 o'clock. And to me, that was ridiculous. What? What do you mean I can't be open after 11 o'clock?
Right.
You know, I look at the first day, the first officer brought a letter over and he asked, you know, he told me that. He didn't bring a letter the first day. First day, he just told me. I was like, what? And I wanted to know, like, what statute? Sure. What law says that?
Right.
I pulled out my phone and everything, and he didn't have it. So he said he'll come back. And sure enough, the next day, he came back with a piece of paper. The
code was like an ordinance?
Yeah, it's an ordinance, ordinance, right? But the city ordinance, when you read the city ordinance, it said residential zones. The ordinance is written for a residential zone,
right?
So I read the ordinance, and it does say you have to close at 11 o'clock.
Gotcha.
Right? So it says that all businesses, right, within a residential zone.
No matter what they are.
Right.
Okay.
Unless they're superseded by state law, like a bar is superseded by
state. Oh, yeah, they have till 2 a.m.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
A gas station
is
also regulated by the state. But the city, you come get your license from the city. I had a city license, and they're saying they had to close it at 11. And I was like, wait a minute, it says if you're a residential zone. Well, I'm across the street from City Hall, and if you look at the zoning map, there's a little tiny area called a BA zone in the city of Trenton. It's called the Business Administration Zone.
They must love you.
And I'm in it.
They must love you.
Yeah, I'm in it.
You're in it.
If I was a couple blocks over, I would be in a residential zone.
There you
zone.
Go. And then you have to close.
But where I was, across the street from the city, I'm in the same exact zone that City Hall is in, and it's a BA zone, Business Administration Zone.
So what did he tell
you? So to me, that ordinance didn't apply to me.
It didn't apply to you.
So I'm not closing at 11.
Right.
A couple days later, there was a couple more officers.
Oh, here we go.
And at some point, there was a sergeant. Right now, I can't think of her name. And she came in trying to talk to me. She was like, listen, weed man.
Calling you weed man.
Yeah, well, everybody does. Half the people don't know my name. Right. You know? But she did. She said that, hey, you know, like you're pissing people off. Like, just close 11. You can't just say F you and stay open. Right. And I was like, but the law says I can be open. She said, well, go to court. I said, I don't have to go to court. You take me.
Exactly.
What am I going to do? Go say, hey, I'm allowed to be open until after 11, and they won't let me.
Right.
But I said, but...
That has to be a complaint.
No, it was the opposite way.
Yeah,
yes,
sure.
They had to. So basically, that's what I said to them. Like, no, I'm gonna stay open. And she told me. She said it, and I recorded her too. I recorded her saying that I pissed off Lieutenant Gonzalez, and Lieutenant Gonzalez was going to turn it up on me. Hmm. And sure enough, the next week he showed up with police dog, 20 police officers, and it made everybody in my restaurant get out, go home.
Wow.
And the first, he actually did it twice. The first time he did it, I slammed the door in his face and didn't leave. And we just closed the doors and nobody went outside and he didn't come in. And the next week he said, we're coming in. He said, we're coming in. And I believed him. So I told everybody, listen, sometimes you got to pick your battles. Everybody go home. Just go. Right. And I told him I was going to file a lawsuit. And that was a Friday or Saturday. And on that Wednesday, March 8th, I filed the lawsuit. You know, the Trentonian, the next day, it was the front page of the paper.
Yeah,
Weed Man files a lawsuit against the city, right? So I didn't know it at the time, but the next day, on March 10th, Lieutenant Gonzalez and Detective Ward opened a criminal investigation of me. It's clear retaliation because I had filed a lawsuit against them, so it's clear.
Like
the timeline is just like, you can't get no better.
Right.
They hired this guy named Zev to entrap me in a crime of providing marijuana, which is no problem. I provide marijuana to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But all right, I have a right to, you know, represent myself and all that type of stuff. So anyway, that's what they did to get probable cause. And then they raided me a month later in April. And they raided me. And of course, they found some weed because I always have weed. You know, they raid me right now. I got weed.
They call you the weed man. The cops call you weed man.
What do you expect? You know,
like I have a bunch of weed from your garden.
It should make the story. It should make the news. Oh, we raided weed man and he had no weed. He's weed man.
That would be news. The weed man had no weed on him.
Right.
There's something wrong.
Yeah. So they did raid me and they did. Right, but I have a whole other side of me. I fight all cases. I fight everything.
And you, what do you do? Like, you do a lot of it, like, pro se? Like, defend yourself?
I defend myself most of the time. Occasionally, I'll get a lawyer to help me. Civil issues, I get lawyers to help with civil issues. But with criminal issues, I fight and represent myself.
Really?
Yeah. So, instantly, I get arrested. Like, that was my plan, was to defend myself.
Okay.
I started arguing. You know, I wanted to know to see.
But seriously, what's your defense? I mean, you're selling marijuana, which right now is illegal.
Listen.
How do you justify it? Like, what's the problem? Why do you have to be such a troublemaker?
They can charge you or me or who with anything they want on any day.
Yeah.
Proving it in court and getting a jury to convict you is a different story. Mm. And when it comes to marijuana, I think I can walk into your mother's church, and I don't know your mother at all, but I think I can walk into your mother's church and ask the people of your mother's church, should I be in prison for weed?
Right.
And most people wouldn't agree with that. Should I be in prison for selling weed? And most people wouldn't agree with that. Those same people are on your juries. So all my cases, I take it to the jury. It's called jury nullification.
Right.
I never deny nothing. I was, you know, I've had a couple court cases where I was caught red-handed. I went to the same argument. What did you expect me to get caught with? You know, marijuana. You should give it back. You should make the prosecutor give it back. Blah, 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 blah. I argued that twice in Burlington County. That's why Burlington County did that to me.
I beat them twice. I was going to say, why of all places did Burlington send a letter? What's happening in Burlington? And now that's why.
Yeah, I beat them twice. Mercer County just took a two-piece, too, last year. You know what I mean? Like, hey, listen. Stephanie Katz got punched in the face with a not guilty. John Boyle took one in the balls, not guilty.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
You know what I mean? Those are assistant prosecutors here in Mercer County, for those who don't know.
There you go.
Yeah, Stephanie Katz doesn't even do trials. She's like a political lady. She does, like, she's second or third in command in Mercer County. But for some reason, she decided to do my case.
And you've been arrested.
And she took a public butt whooping.
How many times have you been arrested for this?
In Trenton? Well,
you got arrested in Trenton, haven't
you?
I did
get arrested in Trenton in April, and I got arrested for calling Officer Flowers a pedophile. I got charged with cyberbullying.
Wait a second. You can get arrested for calling a cop a name?
Apparently you can here in Mercer County.
Or is it just you?
I think it was me. But, I mean, you can Google that.
You're a real charmer.
You can go, but that's free speech. And you know what? If he wanted to file a suit on me civilly, call it defamation, I think it's true. But if he went to file a suit on me for defamation or something like that, he could have, and he never did. What he did wrong was he went and cried to Lieutenant Gonzalez and them, and they signed a criminal complaint against me, and Stephanie Katz took it to the grand jury, and they indicted me for calling him a pedophile.
Wow.
Yes. You know, like, this is people wouldn't even believe this story if I didn't.
And you had time, you know, for, you time for that?
That was another charge I beat.
You beat it. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, they dismissed part of it, and then they just, like, chickened out on arrest and never prosecuted me on it. But they arrested me. I paid bail. I was arrested. I had handcuffs. It was embarrassing. It's all part of my lawsuit.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Plus, on top of that, you can call any public official a name if you want. It was the police officers mad at me. I mean, come on. I came to town. I could read. So I didn't want to, you know, I didn't comply with their orders to close at 12.
Right. Yeah.
I was writing for the Trentonian at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a Thursday column passing the joint. And I criticized state and city officials and people. Right. That's what I did.
Sure.
I mean, you know, Jeff Edelstein and L.A. Parker, they kind of do it a little nicer way. You know, but they complain about things. And that's what columnists do.
Right.
You know,
right.
And I,
exactly.
Yeah. So I, you know, there was a few people I picked on. I talked about them and whatever. And then I got this place, and I'm disregarding the police officer's rules. And then it became this big thing where they were trying to throw me away.
But
you know?
You had told my wife and I when in your cafe, you had mentioned that part of your strategy, if you want to call it a strategy even, is that you tell the judge outright, look, I'm selling pot. I'm selling weed. This is when I do it. This is how I do it. And you were, like, stating your case.
Yeah.
For what reason again?
They need 12 people. They still need 12 people. That's what I was getting at. They need 12 people. So I can...
Yeah, but you were mentioning, about the rich guys are doing it.
Yes.
And you're saying it. That's what I'm saying.
Well, that's part of the whole strategy, too. That's my current protest. Hashtag sell weed like I'm white. I know people say, well, that sounds racist. No, it's not. It's a protest.
Right.
Look... You
sell
people who
weed
are
like I'm white.
You people who are listening, here's what you do. Go on your Facebook or Instagram or whatever. Put that hashtag in. Hashtag sell weed like I'm white.
Okay.
Okay. It's a protest. Guys like me, I went to prison for selling weed. Most people I know who were really in the game of weed, whether it be black or white,
right,
at some point got caught and you went to jail, this, that, and the other. But now it's become cliche and legal and all this. And, you know, they didn't change the name from marijuana to cannabis. You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
right, right.
That's the Caucasianization of marijuana. You know that, right? It is. Think about it. It was called cannabis for hundreds of years, right?
Right, okay.
And then in the 1920s and 30s, this is like factual.
Yeah.
To demonize it, to brownize it, to turn it into this racist entity, this thing that had to be made illegal, right, they started calling it marijuana here, okay, in America.
Now, why is that bad?
Because this is how they demonized it. It was called Indian hemp. It was called all kinds of things, right?
Right, right.
Here in America. But they took the Mexican word, marijuana, and they attached it to the laws and said that this was this demon drug and this, that, and the other, and they made it illegal. It was really a punishment at brown people. You know, you ever look up Reefer Madness or any of these, the propaganda stuff from the 1920s
right,
and 30s?
Right.
It was clearly racist, and they were clearly making the word marijuana this demon word, this brown word, and
right,
they were making it illegal using that word. Well, now, the opposite has happened. In the last 10 years, as marijuana has become Caucasian acceptable, they're reverting back to the word cannabis. Like, I don't know. I have mixed feelings about it. Like, okay, I know it really was called cannabis in the beginning, but wait, I went to prison for marijuana when it was demonized and black. Now that it's become Caucasian acceptable, they're going
right,
to call it
right,
cannabis again. And now white people are making all this money off of it. I went to prison for it. You know what I mean? Like, so this is part of my protest, the hashtag sell weed like a white. You know, for almost the last 10 years, we've had a medical marijuana program in this state, and six white guys have been getting rich off of that. Mm. They sell all the weed. They're the only ones that get to sell weed in the state of New Jersey. I'm done with that.
Interesting.
I'm selling weed, too. I'm
okay,
selling weed like the white guys, and that's who I'm talking about, the Kuma owners, the ATC owners. And the funny thing about that, legally, think about this. Federally, it's always illegal. Remember
right,
what happened to me in California?
Yeah.
When I was in California,
right,
I was legal by state rules and everything.
Okay.
I had
right,
a judge
right,
stamp me and everything. You know,
right,
I won
right,
my injunction, everything, right? I'm
okay,
legal. And this federal authorities came in and smashed me because technically it's illegal through
right,
the feds. It's still illegal
sure,
right here.
Sure.
So these ATC owners, these medical marijuana owners here in the state of New Jersey,
okay,
and these cannabaggers who are coming trying to create businesses and stuff, they're illegal too, federally.
Right. Okay.
But the state of New Jersey protects them, offers them protection, and protects them from federal law. But then want to arrest another 130,000 other people for marijuana. When, wait a minute, you're protecting these six white guys, and, you know, they get to grow weed, sell weed, distribute weed, and we go to prison for it. And then they call it medical for them. And it's a criminal statute, Schedule I drug for me. And it's the same thing. So when I first started this protest, this internet protest, this hashtag sell weed like I'm white a
yeah,
year ago.
Right.
I thought like in days somebody was going to come arrest me. And they never did. But that would have been funny too.
Sure, of course.
Because
you would have worked that angle.
Oh my God.
Absolutely.
Listen, if it happens tomorrow, listen, here's my defense. Here's what I'm going to say to the newspapers the very next day. Yep, they arrested me for selling weed while not white. I'm mighty bright, but I'm not quite white.
That's right. That's what you said to my wife and I.
Yeah.
I'm mighty bright, but I'm not quite white.
Yeah, and you know what?
That would be my argument. You should have a podcast.
Not even a podcast. Off and on over the years, I have had, you know, a little podcast.
You got a great voice.
Thank you.
No, you really do. You got a great sounding voice. You need to do a podcast. Call it, you know, Pass the Joint,
mm-hmm,
the podcast,
mm-hmm,
you know, with NJ Weedman.
Yeah, I actually probably could.
You totally could.
Do my old articles. I can do, you know, I used to do a weekly anyway.
Dude,
so I
should totally
do
it.
I can do it, no problem.
We'll host it.
I don't know,
maybe
I come over here.
Yeah, come on over to New Pod City.
Yeah, come
absolutely.
Over to New Pod Kid. Yeah, there we go.
I think it'd be great. You just can't smoke in here, unfortunately.
You know what? This is one
hey,
of the rare
times. Hey, if I can't
times,
smoke a cigar, you're not smoking weed.
This is one of the rare times. You know, when I was getting ready to leave the joint, I actually had weed in my pocket, and I put it back, and I was like, I'm not going to smoke over there. And I came over here. So this is one of the rare times that I have no weed on.
I appreciate it. I'm honored.
So you could actually say,
wow,
Weed Man was weedless. I see.
Wow. I have proof that you're weedless.
I'm weedless right now.
We got the little insignia on your hat,
yeah,
but that's about it. I'm going to ask you a question, and I can't wait for this answer.
Uh-oh.
We ask every guest the same question, and sometimes it's kind of similar as other answers. Sometimes it's totally different. Here's my question. You ready? My wife thought of this question.
Go for it.
Describe your ideal dream Trenton. What does it look like?
Well, the first thing, the war on drugs would have to be gone. have a drug-free zone, call it Trenton, whatever. Just make it an experiment on America, and let's see what would happen if the war on drugs, if the law enforcement didn't enforce. Because if you ask me, there's 100,000 cities across America that have been destroyed because of the war on drugs. Drugs didn't destroy cities. The war on drugs destroyed cities. So if I was to have one request, yeah, end the war on drugs here. Give it a generation or two to correct itself.
Well, it's not just one request. I want you to describe, what does your dream Trenton look like?
Oh, this, I mean, first of all, Trenton's the state capital of one of the most progressive states in the country. I think there should be art things here. This should be a destination city. And you know what gets me? It's on the river, and it's not on the river. The city is built right smack dab on the Delaware River, but it's a couple hundred yards away from the river. Like, there's no waterfront here. Like, how could you be on a river and not have a waterfront? I don't know. If I was a city planner, I mean, they would have to utilize this. You get on to Camden, you go to Philly, they have waterfronts and they utilize them. Chester, sure. Pennsylvania has a waterfront. Sure. You go all the way down to Seagirt or some of them cities down down on the bay, mm-hmm. On the Delaware side of the bay.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
This is a huge city, comparably, to some of these little towns that got stuff. I mean, you go down the Delaware River, you go to Delran, you go to Burlington, for instance. There's stuff on the river. This city totally has fumbled that. There's nothing on the river. And you have that big natural resource. So I don't know. If I was a city planner, that's what I would somehow invite somebody, some big corporation or two here to I don't know, invite Disney. Who knows? Say, listen, you can have all this land right here on the water if you just develop it. Hmm. You know, I don't know. That's what I would do. I think the state, the fact that the city hosts the state, all these state buildings and stuff, I think the state has an obligation to help Trenton. And I know they do. I don't know the ins and outs of what the particulars are and how much, but it's the state capital. This should be the jewel, the gem of all the cities in the state, right. Of anything. This is this one city that all these progressive ideas should work then,
right,
if
right.
They work, but it goes above my pay grade, which that's a little bit too high for me. I ain't get there yet.
That's awesome, my man. Yeah, that's very, very cool.
Yeah, but yeah, this is the waterfront. Say where Cooper's is, perfect spot. Start right there underneath the bridge and go south.
Cooper's is a great start because we live on Lamberton Street and we're right mm-hmm. across from the park and we walk to Cooper's.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can go around Cooper's and keep going.
Right. Sure. Well, it seems like somebody thought of it a couple of years ago. That's why, you know, all that was there. They and are, the stadium they
are,
was there.
But they are still looking at that. There is something in the works right now that's going to.
But why does it take that? I mean.
Here's the thing. We've been through five mayors since then.
Yeah.
And I think we caught a break with this new mayor.
Yeah, I think so.
You know what I mean?
I like Reed.
Reed's a good guy. He's a really good guy. Yeah. And then things are happening. That's the thing. I'm seeing things happen. So I think it's just a matter of time. And are you going to run for governor again?
I know you ran for something. I run for something every year.
You're going to run for something?
And it's just nuts.
I didn't say run from something.
No.
That's okay.
I don't run from too many things
that's
either.
That's good, too.
I don't. That's part of my problem. I've caught a couple right in the face because
of it. Well, you said before, you know, you want to pick your fights, man. You got to pick some battles. You know, you don't want to just run into every one of them.
Congress.
See, a little cough there.
Congress.
You need a lozenge or something again?
Congress.
Ed, would you like to stick around for a little something we call plugs?
Sure. I thought you were going to offer me a joint, but yeah, I'll take a plug instead.
Here come the plugs.
Trenton Waves plugs.
Hey, Podcastia, let's see what this guest has to plug.
All right, Ed, quick question. Where can people find you? Where can people hear you? Where can people see you? Where can people go online to experience all things NJ Weedman?
I have a couple Facebook accounts, NJ Weedman, and my full name, Edward Fortune, Facebook account. You'll hear me. Boom. But I also want people to visit my Facebook page for my restaurant, NJ Weedman's Joint. And I want you to come into NJ Weedman's Joint. And here's how I've been getting people to come in lately. I have a weekly reefer raffle.
I love this.
All you people who just spit stuff out of your mouth and all that, get it back again. Here we go. Yes, I said reefer raffle. And you don't even have to buy a raffle ticket. All you have to do is come in the joint during the week and buy food. Buy anything. I don't care. Buy a smoothie. You don't even have to buy food. Come buy a smoothie and fill out a reefer raffle ticket. The raffle ticket is free. You have to come in and buy food, though. This is a way of me promoting my place. Come in and buy food.
Right.
You buy food on Sunday nights at 9 o'clock. I go live on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, everything. And I have the drawing. And what I draw, whoever's name I draw out, gets an ounce of reefer weed. Sometime during the week, I always like show what they're going to get. You know, last week was Trainwreck. Before it was some Phantom OG, a Kush.
I don't know what any of this means.
Yeah, sure you don't.
A train wreck?
It's called Trainwreck.
What is that, five ounces?
It's a sativa. It's one. No, it's still 1 ounce.
It's still, you
know,
1 ounce.
Yeah, and yes, it is highly illegal. You know, but hey, I don't care. Mm. Maybe a police officer come in and buy food all week, and maybe he'll win.
Great. That's what I need. I don't need a knock on the door, Ed. Okay, seriously. Be carted away with you.
No, but listen, you can. Listen, there's nothing wrong with coming in and filling out a raffle ticket. So come in and order you. For you to get the raffle ticket, you have to come in and buy food, and you get a raffle ticket. And then on Sunday night, you can sit back at home and watch the drawing. All you have to do is put your name and your phone number on the raffle ticket, and we'll call you.
Hey. And people can use this prize as for medicinal purposes, correct?
Medicinal, spiritual, even recreational. Take it to the gym with you, smoke a joint, and do some jumping jacks. I don't care what you do with it. I always thought that when people say, "Bruce, you got some recreational weed." What?
What does that mean?
Yeah, like that's
what. No, but how do you like? What? How do you categorize it?
I don't know. Like I said, it just always stuff. It always sounds funny to me. A recreational. Now they start with adult use.
Oh okay, my gosh.
Adult use. Okay.
Adult use. Okay. Yeah. I don't even want to go there.
Yeah. Every 14 and 15 year old knows about it. It's the delusions of old people.
Oh, podcaster. I hope you enjoyed, Ed. You have a good time?
Of course I did. Now cool. I just need a joint.
Oh, there you go. I had a great time interviewing you, my man, talking with you. This has been yet another episode of Trenton Waves.
Sasso out.
You've been listening to the Trenton Waves podcast. Visit us online at TrentonWaves.com.